To read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one true and living God, who is all powerful and all wise, and who is our Heavenly Father. We're thankful for the great love wherewith thou hast loved us. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that while we live each day that we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to walk in the light as you are in the light so that we can have fellowship with you each day. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you for our natural families. And we pray that you would bless all of those that are on our hearts and minds, those that are on the prayer list, those that are sick and afflicted, and those who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would continue to help and bless Sister Michelle Street. We thank you, Lord, from the bottom of our heart. Thank you for the miraculous way that you're blessing her, and pray that you would continue to be with her, all of her family, bless her mother, be with all those that others that are sick. Pray that you would lift them up and restore them to their health. Lord, we pray that you would bless us this day as we come into thy house. We ask you to fill us with your spirit. We thank you for filling your house with your people. And we pray now that you would fill your people with your spirit, that we'd be lifted up and that we would be able to feel that God is with us. God has manifested himself to us. God has taught us from his holy word. Teach us and instruct us by thy spirit. Continue to bless those with special burdens and problems. You know the needs of each person here. Pray that you would bless each individual and each family, not according to what we deserve, but according to thy mercy and thy grace. We also beg thy blessings upon our nation. We pray that you would protect us and that you would help us, that you would help us as a people, that we would return unto thee, that we would serve thee, and that as a nation that we would humble ourselves before the one true and living God, before you bring us to our knees. Help us and bless us. Teach us now, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now from Philippians chapter 3. We'd like to read verses 13, 14, and 15. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints of God at Philippi, says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." If correctly read, that's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is the fact that what we're thinking about, our thoughts are going to have a profound effect on our lives. Every day that we live, I believe that our actions to a great degree are going to be determined by what we're thinking about. There are things that God says that we are to think about. There are things that we are to remember. And then there are things that we are told to forget. We are told that there are things that we are not supposed to be thinking about. You remember how in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, notice that verse. He is telling us things here to think on these things, to remember these things, think about these things. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. What are the last four words there? think on these things. Now, brethren, every time that we are thinking about something that's causing us to be discouraged or despondent, then we're sinning because we're not thinking about what God tells us to think about. He says, think on these things. And I encourage you to pray that God will help you to think about the right things and remember the right things. And then also pray that God will help you to forget the things God's telling you to forget. I want to go back now to verse 13, because the main thing that we're going to begin talking about is things that God specifically teaches us that we need to forget. There are a lot of things that the Bible teaches that we need to forget, and every time the devil realizes that you are forgetting those things, guess what the devil will do? He'll remind you. He'll bring it right back to your mind. And then you need to pray, God, help me to forget this. Help me to drive those thoughts out of my mind. With the help of God, you can think about what God tells you to think about, and you can forget the things that God would have you to forget. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That is, I haven't reached the point I want to get to. I haven't reached it yet. Now, brethren, I don't believe there's anybody here that has ever reached exactly what you need to be. You need to be working toward perfection. You need to be working toward what God would have you to be, but you haven't reached it yet. But you always need to be pressing toward that. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. We're closing out this year, December. We're in December of 2008. Next week, we'll begin a new year. And as we close out this year, I hope that you'll close out some chapters in your life. I hope there are things in your life that have been in your mind in the past. I hope that God will help you to forget those things. Paul says here, this one thing, and you concentrate on this one thing, and you do this one thing that Paul said he did, this one thing I do, if you'll do this one thing, you'll have a much closer walk with God and a much more successful service to God during this coming year than you've ever had before. Just do this one thing. You ever had somebody say, would you do one thing for me? I've had a few people. I remember that Dr. Snelling, one of the closest friends I've ever had, who was a deacon in Columbus when I was pastor there, Dr. Snelling one time, he said, Brother Billy, I want you to do one thing for me. And I told him I'd do whatever it was. And at that time, I smoked a pipe occasionally. He said, I want you to quit smoking. I don't want you to ever smoke again. And I did that one thing. Haven't touched it since that day. There are a lot of things, brethren, that you need to set aside and you need to lay aside. And sometimes it's hard to do what people ask you to do. Sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to do what God tells you to do. But this one thing, Paul says, this one thing I do. What's the one thing he does? What's the first thing he says after this one thing I do? What's the next word? Forgetting. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm going to tell you, brethren, you can't reach forth and you can't go forward until you first forget those things that are behind. It's just like when the Word of God says that we're to put off the old man and put on the new man. You know what we typically want to do? We want to hold on to the old man and put on the new man. You can't put on the new man until you put off the old man. You can't press toward the mark. You can't go forward until you forget those things that are behind. So he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There are some good things out there for you. There are some good things out there for your life. There are things that will make your heart rejoice, and they're not the things sometimes that you've been running after. And so he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, brethren, if you and I will do what Paul did here, if we'll, number one, forget those things which are behind, and number two, if we'll reach forth unto those things which are before, and if we will press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you will have a wonderful, close fellowship with God every day of your life. But you have to do those three things, and you have to do them in that order. Number one is forgetting those things which are behind. I want us to begin this morning by looking at some things that I believe God's Word specifically says that we need to forget. Does Paul tell us that he has forgotten some things here in this third chapter in the previous verses? I want you to notice what he does. He says, I want you to notice starting back in verse 4. Back up in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. If you don't follow this in the Bible, you're going to have great difficulty following and understanding this morning. But if you'll look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, he's going to begin to talk about some things that he had accomplished in his life, and he's going to talk about what he had to forget. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, he's going to boast here. Listen to what he does now. He's going to boast. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Do you hear what he's doing? Is he saying, I've been an outstanding religious person? Is he saying that? Is he saying, if anybody wants to boast, I'll tell you how much I can boast. I'll tell you how much I've done. You want to talk about how much you've done? I've done more than you have. And then what does he say? Because he makes it plain that those are things he had to lay aside. He had to forget that. You know what we do sometimes? Sometimes we boast about what we did in our service to God in the past. Did you know what? Every one of us probably have done that from one time or another. That we've talked about what great things we did. People get around, start talking about how they are serving the Lord, and say, well, you know, let me tell you what I did. And we'll go back and we start reflecting on what great things we did in the past. You know what the Bible says that Paul was saying he was supposed to do here? Forget what? Forget those things that are behind. Stop glorying in what you've done in the past. Stop dwelling on the good things you've accomplished in the past. Because why? Why is it important that we not dwell on the good things we've accomplished in the past? Because, brethren, it's more important that we forget those things and that we reach forth unto those things that are before and we press toward the mark. Keep on going. Don't sit around thinking about what you've done in the past. Get forward. Go forward and start doing more things than you've ever done before. If you ever sit around and think about what great things you've done in your service to God, you're thinking about something God would not have you to think about. Forget about those things. That's what Paul said he did. After he talks about that pedigree of what he had done, he says in verse 7, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What's he saying? I gave them all up. I quit thinking about them. I count them all but loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The dung is not something you want to think about. And so he's saying, I stop thinking about those things. And I count all those things but dung. Why? Because I need to forget this one thing, he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So the first thing that I believe that the Word of God makes it plain that we need to forget and stop thinking about, stop dwelling on, and stop talking about is our past accomplishments in service to God. Does everybody understand why it's important that you stop thinking about that and dwelling on that? What happens when you get to thinking about how good you've been in the past? Yeah, you get high-minded, proud. You can't be in the kingdom of heaven when you're proud. Stop thinking about that. Forget those things that you've done in the past. He says, forgetting those things which are in the past and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize. Is he saying there's something more I can do? If all you're doing is sitting around thinking about what you've done in the past, you need to realize you haven't made it yet. You're not where you ought to be. Now, that's the first thing I want you to forget, is the things you've done in the past. Second thing that I believe the Word of God makes it very plain that you need to forget is you need to forget those people. No, let me rephrase that. You need to forget the things that people have done to make you mad and stop harboring ill will towards people. Is there anybody here that has any anger in your heart towards any other human being? Is there anybody here that has malice in your heart towards anyone? Anger, malice, and hatred will keep you from being what you need to be in your service to God. It will destroy your life. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what they've done against you. You know what the Word of God says you're to do? When somebody has treated you wrong, what are you to do? Pray for them. That's right. Forgive them. Love your enemies. And forget what they've done to you. How many of you have ever said or heard somebody say, well, I'll forgive them, but I'll never what? I'll never forget. Let me tell you something. If the devil can get you to say that and think that and feel that, he's won the battle. Forgiving, true forgiveness, will include forgetting. And that doesn't mean you can't ever bring it to mind, but it does mean that you're not going to be thinking about it and you're not going to be dwelling on it. And when you think about that person, that's not going to be the first thing that comes to your mind. We're to forgive and to forget. You remember how Jesus said that when we pray, Matthew 6:12, that part of our prayer should be, forgive. This is our prayer to God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Do you pray that prayer? Do you pray, God, I want you to forgive me the same way I forgive other people? Do you pray that prayer? Do you pray that in your prayer? Now, when I was a boy, I've mentioned this before, and I realized what that meant, I stopped right there. That's the only part of that prayer I'd leave out. I just wouldn't pray that. I'd skip over that and pick right back up right after that. And the reason is because I did not want God to forgive me the way I forgave other people. I wanted God to be much more forgiving of me than I was of other people. And you and I, as God's people, we need to forget. Forget about those things that people have done to you in the past. Forget those things. Don't dwell on those things. Don't think about those things. That malice and anger towards people is not right, it's not good, and it'll destroy your life. Forgive. Now, some of you have had some major things to forgive people of. Some people have had things much harder to forgive people of than other people have. But it doesn't matter what people have done to you, you have never had anybody mistreat you and abuse you as much as you have mistreated your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You've never had anybody that has sinned against you as much as you have sinned against God. And so it is that we are to pray. In fact, the Scripture says in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, the Scripture says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. What's the next phrase? Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What's he saying? He says, I want you to remember how Christ, how God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And you need to forgive other people. What's one thing you need to forgive? What's the first thing we talked about that you needed to forget? Forgetting those things that are behind. What's one thing? What's the first thing we talked about? Forget about what? Forget about your accomplishments, okay? Forget about your accomplishments. What's the second thing you need to forget about? The things that people have done to hurt you. Forget and forgive. Because the Scripture says this, right after the example prayer in Matthew 6, and here's what I didn't realize until years after I had quit saying that part of the prayer, but Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, that if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now that's a startling thought. But it's the truth. Jesus said it. The Word of God says it. So what had we better do? We better forget those things that people have done to make us mad and hurt us. Forget and forgive. A third thing that we have to forget is we have to forget things that we've done ourselves. Did you know sometimes people just wallow in their self-loathing? Do you know what I mean by self-loathing? There are some people, and I know people right now, that they stay in the pits, they stay in the depth of depression. And the people that I know that are the most depressed on this earth are people that will not forget what they've done. They will not forget and forgive themselves. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, listen, brethren, God is faithful to forgive and forget and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, you need to forgive yourself. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. By the grace of God, you need to forget about your past. You need to forget about what you've done that's wrong. Because the devil wants you to remember your past and dwell on how bad you were. And I would encourage you, don't talk about what bad things you used to do. Sometimes I hear Christians say, oh, let me tell you what I used to do when I was in high school. Let me tell you what I did when I was in college. I've watched child after child after child throw that right back in their parents' faces and say, look, you did it, and you finally turned out all right. I can do it too, and eventually I'll turn out all right. It's wrong for you and I, as God's people, to think about what we've done in the past in the sense that we dwell on it so much that it keeps us from going forward in our service to God. Does everybody understand what I mean? You are to know that you're a sinner. You are to know and remember that you have fallen short of honoring and glorifying God, but you're not to dwell on your past sins to the extent that it interferes with you rejoicing in the Lord every day. You ought to be more committed and more dedicated in your service to God when you think about what God has forgiven you of and all the past sins in your life. I thank God and praise God that He is a forgiving Heavenly Father. That just as that prodigal son who went out and wasted his father's goods in riotous living, and that son, when he came to himself and decided, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to my father's house. I thank God that when that father saw him coming, that he saw him a great way off, and he ran, and he greeted him, and he fell and kissed him, and he wept and rejoiced that his son, who was lost, was now found. Isn't that amazing grace that God has done that for me and for you? God's done that for me and for you. And you and I need to forget. You know, that son that came back home, that prodigal son, he would have never amounted to a hill of beans in his father's house if all he had done was sit around and, oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry what I've done. Listen, brethren, that son had already said he was sorry. He had already come back and confessed his sins. It was time for him to get busy and serve in his father's house. And it's time for every one of us to forget those things that are behind and go forward. He says, what does Paul say? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So what are the three things we've mentioned so far we need to forget? What's the first thing? We need to forget what? Our accomplishments. What's the second thing we need to forget? The things that people have done against us. We need to forget those things and stop dwelling on those things and forgive those people. Forget the things that people have done us. And the third thing is, we need to forget the things that we have done against God. We need to ask God to forgive us and go forward in our service to God. Now, another thing, a fourth thing that I believe is very clear in God's Word that you need to forget is all the sin that's out there and all the alluring things that you've already left behind. Listen carefully to what I'm talking about. When the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, you remember when they came out of Egyptian bondage? And they were out there in the wilderness. Do you know one of the most hindering things to them going forward into the land of Canaan was they were out there in the wilderness thinking about the few good things. Now, do you remember what all they endured when they were in Egypt? Do you remember they had taskmasters that beat them? And yet, when they were out in the wilderness, you know what they thought about? The only two good things they could think about was, oh, I remember the leeks and the onions we had back there in Egypt. Well, I'll tell you what, if they had gone back to Egypt, if they had been back in Egypt, they'd have realized, well, it's not the way I remembered it. And let me tell you something, brethren, the world that you and I have left behind, it's not the way the devil will cause you to remember it sometimes. The devil will try to get you to go back. The devil wants you to go back. The devil wants you to think about how good it was back there in the world. You know what you better forget? You better forget about anything you thought was good back there. You better forget about anything you thought was fun and joyful back there, because you have forgotten the hell that went along with all that back there. And you and I, as the people of God, we need to forget those things of the past. You remember when, well, go in your Bibles to Hebrews just a moment. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Please follow in your Bibles. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see that in this chapter that we call the chapter of faith in Hebrews 11, I want you to see that you can go home and study this, but I believe that every single one of these people in Hebrews 11, every one of them did what Paul said he did in Philippians 3, 13, 14, and 15. Every one of these people, you start with the first one, Abel. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know what he first had to do? He had to do some forgetting and then reaching forth and pressing on. We're going to get to pressing on now. Pressing on. You know one of the songs that we sing sometimes? Higher ground. I'm what? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Did you know that songwriter knew he had to do something before he pressed on? What did he know he had to do before he could press on? What's the first thing he has to do? Forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before and then press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look now at Hebrews chapter 11. Not going to go through all of these, but I do want to mention two or three. Come down to verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. You remember what God, the first major thing that the Bible tells us that God called on Abraham to do? Not offer his son. Listen, brethren, that's the climax. That's as bad as it got to me, to offer his only son. Take now thy son. But before that, there was a trial of Abraham's faith. And it's recorded here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. The Word of God says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. What does that say? Abraham was called by God to leave his father and his kindred and that land back there. What did he have to do? Let's suppose he'd gotten about 10 miles down the road, and instead of looking forward to that land that God promised him, let's suppose he had started doing what? Started remembering, oh, listen, I'm tired of this traveling. He probably had some children. What do children say when you get in the car, you get about 10 miles out of town? What do they say? How long do we get there? How much farther is it? Well, listen, brethren, you and I as the people of God are little children sometimes, the way we act about serving God. And we need to forget those things that are behind. Abraham, when he left all of that, the only way he could press on and keep going is forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before and press toward the mark. What was he pressing toward? Was he pressing toward a mark? Did he have a goal? Did he have an objective? He had a land. He didn't know where it was. He didn't know for sure what it was all about. But he knew God had promised him something. And you may not fully understand the joys of the kingdom of heaven, but you know God's promise that if you obey Him, that He'll bless you and be with you. And if you'll just forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before, and if you'll press toward the mark, you'll experience the same kind of joys that Abraham did. Now, Moses, come down to Hebrews 11, verse 20. Oh, let me stop at verse 15. Look at verse 15. He's talking about the children of Israel here when they came out of the country. Hebrews 11, verse 15 says, "And truly, if they had been mindful..." What does it mean to be mindful? What does that mean? Think about something. "If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." God's prepared for them a city. "And they were headed towards that city, but if they had been mindful, if they had thought about that place they came out of, they might have just gone back." Have you ever known anybody that went back? I've known preachers that have gone back to sinful, way horrible, wayward ways. I've watched church members that would be so close to God, and then you know what they did? You ever watch church members go back? We call it backsliding. Sometimes they slide back a little ways, then they turn around and go back forward, and then slide back again, and then come forward again. The only way you'll ever stop that cycle of backsliding and starting over and backsliding and starting over. Some children of God are like I heard one preacher recently say they're like a termite in a yo-yo. Now, I want you to think about a termite that gets in wood, and think about a yo-yo that's going round and round and up and down. Sometimes God's people are like that. Do you know what causes that? It's only one thing. They're not what? They're not forgetting. They're not forgetting. Still longing. Still long. Still want to go back. Jesus says this in Luke 9 and verse 62. He says, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You cannot put your hand to the plow. You cannot reach forth unto those things which are before. You cannot start pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can't put your hand to the plow and look back. If you do, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You'll not dwell in the kingdom of God. You'll not experience great joy and peace. But what have you got to do? What's the first thing you got to do? One thing. Just one thing. I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. Now, you remember how Dr. Snelling said, "Just want you to do one thing"? Well, this is all I'm going to ask you to do today, okay? Just one thing. Just forget. Just forget. Just forget the things you need to forget. Just forget those things that are behind. Forgetting those things that you're behind. And reach forth unto those things that are before and press toward the mark. Look at Hebrews 11 now, verse 24. Moses. You remember the miraculous thing that happened in Moses' life? I want one of the little children to tell me, what's the first thing that you remember the Bible telling you about Moses? When Moses was a little bitty baby, one of the children tell me, what happened to Moses when he was a little bitty baby? One of the children tell me. Any one of you. Mr. Emily, do you remember what happened to Moses when he was a little bitty baby? What happened? That's right. Okay. Do you remember who got him? Pharaoh. Okay. Pharaoh's daughter. You remember how there was a decree went out and they were going to kill all the babies? And remember how Moses' mother put Moses in that little basket, floated him down the river, and he came up there, and Pharaoh's daughter came out and found that baby, and she took that baby into her house, and Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. Marvelous thing how God worked that all out, isn't it? But did you know finally when Moses was 40 years old and he began to watch and see how the Egyptians were abusing and mistreating the children of Israel, do you remember how he slew one of those Egyptian soldiers that was abusing one of those children of Israel? And then Moses had to leave Egypt. You remember that? You remember he had to leave Egypt? Do you know how much he left behind? Do you have any idea how much he left behind? He left behind more than anybody here has ever left behind. And when he left it behind, you know what he had to do? He had to forget it. Just forget it. Forget it. Have you ever had anybody say, get over it? Get over it. Have you ever wanted to just shake somebody and say, get over it? Just forget it. Stop dwelling on the past. Go forward. There is no limit to what you can accomplish in your life. There's no limit. Listen, I'm 60 years old, and I may not live another day, but I'm planning on living a while. God may take me home today. That'll be all right. But I'm planning on living a while, and I'm planning on accomplishing some things before I die by the grace of God. Now, I know I can't do anything by myself. But before I can accomplish very much in my life, I have to forget some things. And I have to reach forth into those things that are before. And you know what Moses did after he left Egypt, left Pharaoh's house? You know what he did? He forgot those things that were behind, and he looked unto him that was invisible. He looked to God to guide him and direct him all the way. Now I'll close with Hebrews 12, verse 1. You go home and study and look at all those in Hebrews 11, because every one of them had to leave and forget, and every one of them had to reach forth and press on all the way. They kept pressing on. That's what faith is all about. They kept pressing on. By faith they forgot. By faith they pressed on. Now Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, listen carefully, look in your Bibles. Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what that's saying? The same thing as, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what that's saying? The same as, forget what? Forget those things that are behind. Let's lay aside every weight. And can you run the race that he's going to talk about? Can you run the race without first setting some things aside? Can you run that race? You can't run the race without laying them aside. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Do you have a race that you're supposed to be running? Do you have a race that you're supposed to be running? Every one of us do. You can't run this race unless you lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. You cannot run this race without forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. And the next verse says, looking what? How can you do all that? How can you forget those things that are behind? How can you forgive and forget? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If you don't look to Jesus, you're going to do what? You're going to do what? You're going to lose out. You're going to fail. You're going to fall. You're not going to make it. If you don't look to Jesus, you're not going to make it. If you look to Jesus, you will make it. And you will finally, in the close of your life, you'll be able to say like the Apostle Paul, you can start right now in your life. I'm 60. I can start right now. Or maybe 61. I'm not sure. But however old I am, I can start right now. You can start right however old you are. You can start right now. And you can be much more productive in your service to God than you've ever been before. But the only steps to do it is, number one, forget those things that are behind. Number two, reach forth unto those things that are before. Number three, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May God help us. This can be the most wonderful year of your life if you'll just do what God's Word tells us to do here, is my prayer for Christ's sake.